Hello.
Nah, sorry, we're booked out at least 3 weeks. Yep, sorry.
Another one you had to turn away?
Yeah, third one today. And I'm not going to have the available cash or time to hire more help until after busy season.
I don't think you can wait.
Got any ideas?
Get business financing through Capitus. Easy application, no hidden fees, and really fast funding.
Oh yeah? How fast are we talking here?
As little as 24 hours.
You know, let me call that guy back.
Stop turning down work. Start growing. Get the funding you need at Capitus.com. That's Capitus.com.
America needs conversation, so today we are here to debate. I am proud to be joined by Vashon, also known as the Chicago Conservative. We each brought one topic. We have 20 minutes for each topic. About 6 months ago, we filmed an episode with Vashon, and during this episode, you seem to be a lot more staunchly pro-Trump.
This guy is like literally my childhood. Trump is not a politician. You do know that, right?
He is the politician. He's absolutely not.
Now, you do know those are all like BS charges, right?
Yes. What about when Trump called Biden a fascist?
That is true.
Some of your positions have changed a bit. Can we dig in there before we go into the prompts?
I was a Trump supporter. I was a very, very strong Trump supporter when you guys first met me. But when it comes to the no new wars and things of such, you know, a lot of Americans like myself really didn't approve of that because that was just one of his promises. And another one I would just have to say was the Epstein list. You know, you got people like Dan Bongino and, you know, Trump basically saying, you know, there is no list and there's, you know, things like that. And we all know that's bullshit. So
I think the no new wars one is one that a lot of my friends are bothered with, too, because he repeated that over and over and over. This Iran war is now on day 110, and he said it was going to be 4 to 6 weeks. So do you just find that a betrayal of what you voted for?
Well, I wouldn't necessarily say it's betrayal because, you know, there are, you know, bits and pieces that we have to consider, you know, when it comes to the terrorists in Iran. You know, we don't want them to have a nuclear war program and things of such. I'm not going to necessarily say that the whole war with Iran is bad, but I would say 70% of it has basically affected America negatively.
Well, it's a war, and it goes against what he said, which was...
Well, no, I can agree with that.
The war part is bad, and then my problem is he hasn't actually moved us closer to any of those objectives that you claimed, but we've bared all the cost of this war. So, for example, the JCPOA, which was Obama's deal with Iran, actually limited their enriched uranium, and we had oversight into what Iran was doing, and Trump tore that up. Then, when Trump got in office this time, he decided to launch a war for the same stated goal of, you know, removing their uranium, and we haven't even done that.
Here's the thing, though, and I'm not going to disagree with you with any of those points, but my thing is this. We don't want Iran with uranium at all, and that's just what the majority of America says when it comes to, you know, Trump supporters. But, you know, you got to consider, if Iran does get a nuke, you know, that would be kind of scary.
It would be so
bad.
I do not want Iran to have a nuke, but we had mechanisms in place. Not only did the U.S. have oversight under Obama's deal, but all of the Gulf countries could see directly what Iran was doing day by day. Now we're just kind of moving blind with, like, a more radicalized regime.
But I will have to say that this new deal that Trump has with Iran, I mean, it basically could be the deal of all deals.
No, now, that, I disagree.
That's only if, you know, Iran and Israel, you know, stay nice to each other. But if, you know, no attacks are made, if no threats are made, if there are no casualties, then I think this could be it.
I disagree. First of all, like you said, Israel is already blowing up the deal by bombing Lebanon and bombing Beirut. But this new deal doesn't have anything to do with the nukes. It's just a 60-day memorandum of understanding. Yeah. There's nothing on the actual nuclear question, and it says there is a $300 billion restitution fund towards Iran. Now, that doesn't come from you and I, but the United States has to place pressure on our Gulf allied countries that Iran was just striking to then give money to Iran. I think it's a catastrophe.
I think America have more problem with that, like just being the muscle for Israel in general. I think America just is kind of sick of that, don't you think?
You know, that is a perfect place to jump into our two claims, because one of them is about Israel. Let's start off with mine. My claim is that MAGA is a cult.
What is your definition of a cult?
A cult is a group of people that prioritize their worship of one leader or one idea over actual rationality. Trump wants to create a MAGA base under him that is cult-like and only agrees with him on every single issue, like the Epstein files.
Okay, so in... That actually was what I was about to get
into.
You actually just screwed yourself with that one. So when you say the Epstein files, don't you think that these people that was, I guess, showing cult-like behavior, you know, kind of excluded themselves from MAGA? You got people like Candace Owens. You have people like Tucker Carlson, you have Nick Fuentes. I'll even give you guys one that people thought that she literally worshipped this man, Marjorie Taylor Greene, mm-hmm. who now actually can't stand Trump, along with Thomas Massie there. So when I hear the word cult, I hear somewhat kind of religious, you know, or just someone that's, I guess, agreeing with a single person, I would say, ideology. Now, when I think of MAGA, I think of it as a political group. And when we think of MAGA, everybody is supporting MAGA for different reasons, if that makes sense. Like, some is because of, you know, border control. Some is, you know, because of, you know, men not being in women's bathrooms, all that stuff. But when you think of a cult, it's just strictly just one ideology. Does Trump have one belief that he wants people to believe in?
Yes, Trump himself has said that MAGA is defined as whatever he defines it as. And I want to talk to you about the Epstein part, because it's funny, you thought that built on your argument, but I would beg to differ. I think it builds on my argument. So you listed a bunch of people that were actually excised from the MAGA movement because they questioned the Epstein files. These people aren't MAGA anymore. Marjorie Taylor Greene said she's not MAGA. She said she's America first. So what happened when Marjorie Taylor Greene and Lauren Boebert went against Donald Trump's ideology on the Epstein files? Marjorie,
let me think about it. You're saying Donald Trump's ideology, but here's the thing.
It is.
Donald Trump was just the face of what, you know, the Republican ideology.
Cult.
No, not the cult, bro. Because you got to think about it. If this was actually a cult, they would still be supporting Trump. They would be like, okay, yes, Trump, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. We worship you, Trump. You use the word specifically worship there.
Yes, yes.
But when we use, you know, Marjorie Taylor Greene, for example, Candace Owens, Tucker Carlson, Nick Fuentes, all of these people who were diehard Trump, these were diehard Trump supporters.
Let's think about this.
I wouldn't necessarily think
they only left the MAGA movement after death threats or political extermination. So, like, in this case with Marjorie Taylor Greene, let me finish. Mm-hmm. Marjorie Taylor Greene got death threats from Trump supporters after he called her Marjorie Traitor Greene. She was still loyal to him until her son got death threats as well. Her son was literally getting death threats. She talked about this in a rally. Lauren Boebert has her political career basically in flames because she voted against the Epstein files. You know, Thomas Massie. Mm-hmm. Thomas Massie was at one point a MAGA supporter that Donald Trump endorsed. Thomas Massie then got primaried because he went against what Donald Trump wanted. So what you're saying is all of these people worshipped Trump, and their one principle was that they won't defend pedophilia.
Why are you saying worship? Okay, look. Wait,
did Marjorie Taylor Greene worship Trump?
Are there Trump extremists out there? Yes, just like how there are far radical right-wingers, far radical left-wingers out there. These people exist, Adam, but those are just exceptions to the rule. You're using the word cult and worship, and it's like, these are words that are just like objective, and it doesn't matter what this man do or says, they're gonna agree with everything
they
that
do,
he do.
But
they
don't
though, because when we look at these names that you just like Thomas Massie, Marjorie Taylor Greene.
It took pedophilia for Marjorie Taylor Greene to split from Trump. Right now,
okay,
Trump is
putting, but if it was a cult, if it was worship, that wouldn't matter, right?
They absolutely worship him. Right now, Donald Trump's face is on buildings in D.C. He put his name on the Kennedy Center and that got shot down, and the reflecting pool is full of...
Does Trump have an ego? Yes. Everybody knows Trump has a
this
big ego.
The one point that you made that I'll grant you is that not every single Trump voter is automatically a part of the cult. I know many people in Indiana who just don't really follow politics. But I will say, I have sat week after week after week with these Trump stooges on TV. I've debated people like Scott Jennings, right? Mm-hmm. And every single week, this guy will defend the Iran war, defend the Epstein files, defend everybody. Like 80% of Republicans think the 2020 election was stolen, not because there's evidence, but because Trump told them to think that.
Look, here's the thing. This could have been anyone that had $1 billion that was witty and had charisma. You do realize mm-hmm. that Trump was just the guy to do it. But my thing is this. If this was a person that just said, you know what, we're tired of illegals coming through the border, we're tired of this, we don't want men and women's restrooms, I'm pretty sure that Americans would have backed that person. It doesn't matter if it was Trump or not. And I'll even throw you a bone here. Trump did a tweet here, right? And basically it was an AI description of him being Jesus Christ or something mm-hmm. like that. And a lot of right-wingers definitely disliked that post. And I'll tell you this, when you use the word worship, a lot of MAGA supporters are actually conservative Christians. So when you use like words like worship, they actually take offense to that stuff because the only person that they worship is God.
They do worship Trump. There are literal statues of Trump, and whenever he changes his position on something,
I never saw a statue.
There's
of
a
Trump.
Statue at Mar-a-Lago that's made out of gold. But
that's
think about
his
this.
House.
Think about this.
That's his ego. See, look, you're getting ego. you like confused with
it's
like
all,
cultism.
It's all connected. Let me show you. Due to Trump's insane ego, he wants to build a Republican Party infrastructure around him that only follows whatever he says. I can give you multiple examples. On tariffs, the Republican Party was pro-protectionism, but Donald Trump rewired most of these Republicans who are in his cult, not every single Republican, to now think that you can put tariffs on every single country. What about the Iran war? He took people who were no new wars, and now someone like Scott Jennings is defending this on TV every single day.
We're getting it confused that these influential people actually matter. Like, okay, Scott Jennings is a person that's on CNN TV. Okay, nobody really cares about Scott Jennings in real life, though.
Of course.
We're talking about like the average person out there.
I can list a bunch of these. Benny Johnson, dude, even Charlie Kirk, right before Trump.
Okay, look, everybody knows Benny Johnson is a diehard Trump fan. Charlie Kirk, but here's the thing.
Charlie Kirk, right before he died, 2 months before he died, he got a call from Donald Trump. This is a really good example. Have you heard about this? Trump had an emergency situation room meeting about the Epstein files, and Trump called Charlie Kirk, he called Lauren Boebert, he called Marjorie Taylor Greene. He intentionally, due to the ego that you mentioned, tried to get everybody in MAGA to follow his footsteps on pedophilia. Now, some of them split off there, but Charlie Kirk then went on his show. I can play the clip. He went on his show and he said, you know what? I am done talking about the Epstein files. I'm going to trust this administration, and I am done talking about them. I can play the clip. Charlie Kirk.
I'll have to look into that, but I've never heard of that clip at all. But my thing is this. Anyone that has rational thinking knows that pedophilia is bad.
Pam Bondi, Kash Patel, these people seem to still be hiding these files. So the people around him in his administration are following him off of the cliff. Like, do you think they've been transparent about the Epstein files?
Are we talking about Pam Bondi, Dan Bongino?
Pam Bondi, let's talk about it.
I mean, she resigned, right?
She left, yeah.
Okay, yeah, so she left. So, I mean, I don't really see how really her...
She left because she was disgraced about the Epstein files. But listen, would you disagree if I say that Trump is trying to get everybody in his Republican MAGA base to line up with him and just cover up the Epstein files?
No, I wouldn't agree with that at all, because my thing is this, everybody know what type of person Epstein was, and we're not just going to allow Trump to basically let that man or whoever he was affiliated with or whoever was in his little black book to get away with basically doing all these horrendous acts to these underage children. If Trump is in the Epstein list, then Trump is in the Epstein list. I'm not going to defend that man. And
do you think he's covering it up?
I don't know. I can't confirm or deny if he's covering it up, but we know it exists, and he promised that he would release it, and he didn't, which is one of the criticisms that I have of Donald Trump, which actually proves that this isn't a cult.
Well, he would say that you're not MAGA. He would say that
he
you're
would
not
say
MAGA.
I'm not MAGA, but here's the thing.
Trump defines what MAGA is.
I wouldn't give a fuck, though. You see what I'm saying?
Like, I wouldn't care what the leader of the group says.
I wouldn't care. I wouldn't care, bro, because that's not what I voted for, okay? I am an American first, bro. I care about America. I don't really care about, you know, these global elites. I don't care about the establishment. I care about the average American who's basically just trying to get their...
And Trump doesn't.
Okay, you can say that, but
he doesn't.
Here's the thing.
He cares about covering up the Epstein files. He said he doesn't even think about the pocketbook of average Americans, and Republicans are following him off this cliff.
I'm not going to say he's covering up the Epstein files.
You don't think so?
Because he's released the files already.
The DOJ had put black marks over a bunch of different names.
I can agree with that.
The DOJ redacted photos. The DOJ slow walked this as much as they could until Pam Bondi was forced politically to release them. And then, you know what happened? This perfectly fits into my argument. The only reason the Epstein files were released is because Thomas Massie, Lauren Boebert, and Marjorie Taylor Greene, along with Ro Khanna and a few Democrats...
Which proves this isn't a cult.
No. Listen. They all forced the release of the Epstein files, and all of them had their political careers ruined for it.
So you're proving this isn't a cult. You know that, right? Because if this was a cult, okay,
if they worship
this man... but they were MAGA. So what is MAGA to you then? Because you can't
Trump
just say
Trump defines
so...
MAGA. Trump defines what it is. Okay, let me ask you this.
Okay.
Why did Thomas Massie get primaried by Trump? What was the issue that Thomas Massie split with Trump on?
Because of the Epstein files.
Okay, so when the Republican voters in Thomas Massie's district heard that Thomas Massie decided to release the Epstein files, why were they angry about that if they want to see the Epstein
because
files?
Trump, right? Okay,
because Trump commanded them. Because he commanded them to. Because his names were in the file and he commanded them to. Do you get what
my
I'm saying
this,
here?
Though? That doesn't define what a cult is, though.
A cult is when a group of people put ideology or one person over rationality. And then MAGA is not what
is
I...
It's a political group.
No, it's
MAGA
not,
is a political
it's, no, no, no,
group.
It's not what I define it as. It's what the leader of... MAGA defines it as. Donald Trump said himself, MAGA is whatever I define it as. In Trump's eyes, do you think Marjorie Taylor Greene is a part of MAGA?
She was. I would actually
she
say she
was.
I would actually say she was... if not the biggest supporter of MAGA.
A huge part of a cult is that when you go against the cult or you break the cult, you get kicked out or pushed out. If you were in effing Jonestown and you went against Jim Jones, they would push you out. You're pushed out of the group or the cult. Modern day, Thomas Massey, Marjorie Taylor Greene, all these people that you're using as examples of free thinkers were kicked out and
but
pushed out.
You do know MAGA is based on different political ideologies, though. You do know it's based on different things that people voted for.
You can That's say what, that, but
But it
Trump,
is, though. No. People voted for Trump for different reasons. So you do know that,
is
right?
Is MAGA for no new wars or for the Iran war?
Okay, in the beginning, that's what I was saying. Before Trump became president, yes, he did go off of no new wars. Did he stick to that promise? No.
So MAGA's both simultaneously? That sounds like a cult.
I said Trump went off on no new wars.
So what's the true MAGA? Which is the true MAGA position?
Honestly, there is no face to MAGA or whatever, because my thing is this.
You don't think Trump is the face of MAGA?
I think Trump is the face of his own thing when it comes to MAGA, but when I'm talking about when it comes to the American ideology, look, dude, when it comes to keeping the American ideologies conserved, Trump isn't the face of that. Some new guy after Trump.
So you're talking about conservatism, not MAGA.
Not necessarily conservatism, but what you're defining as a cult isn't MAGA at all.
I think you're just forgetting that there are tens of millions of Americans.
But the maybe minority even, is
no,
not
no, no.
the majority.
There are tens of millions of Americans, maybe even 50, 60 million Americans who will follow.
What is the population of America?
Off a clip. Wait, so a cult can't be defined by 60 million out of 250 million people? I'm not saying every American is a cultist. I'm saying that MAGA voters, if you identify as a MAGA voter, according to Fox News polling, 100% of MAGA voters support Trump. So you basically, I got you there for a second.
Wait.
What is MAGA?
You say according to what?
Fox News polling.
But you're using Fox News, bro.
CNN says the same thing. 100% of MAGA voters support Trump still. So I want to ask you one more time.
MAGA, that would be false.
Is MAGA no new wars or is MAGA pro-Iran war?
That's just like saying 100% of vegans still eat broccoli. What are you talking about right now, bro? That doesn't even make sense.
100% of MAGA voters support Trump.
100% of MAGA voters support Trump. Okay, no shit.
That's what I'm saying.
Tell me something I don't know.
Okay, 70% of Republicans support Trump. That's not the cult. I'm not saying Republicans are a cult. I'm saying that MAGA voters have been whipsawed around from no new wars to pro-Iran. Which one is MAGA? No new wars or Iran war?
Okay, like I said, I will give you that point, Adam. MAGA was no new wars. MAGA was keeping men out of women's
now restaurants. MAGA is new
MAGA
wars.
MAGA was securing the border, which he did, by the way. Okay, that so was MAGA.
But now is MAGA pro-Iran war now?
No, I agree with you that
Trump says you're not MAGA if you don't support the Iran war.
I agree if you disagree. Okay, my thing is this. Everybody knows that there are diehard Trump supporters out there that will listen to everything that Trump says.
The majority of Republicans.
I wouldn't say majority at all, because majority of people who voted for Trump actually disliked the decisions that he did. We got to concede to that point, bro. Even the big top people that are influencing that. You got to understand.
The Iran war has an 80% approval in the Republican base. And again, I know this doesn't mean much, but
Republicans always refer the war in Iran, even when it came to George Bush.
We just finished segment one with Vashon. It's his second time on the show. And I love his passion. He's a really good barometer of what the average young conservative MAGA person is thinking.
I support Trump. You know, I support my president, but as far as like a diehard MAGA fan, like not necessarily.
Vashon did make a good point, and it's that not everybody who voted for Trump is like a MAGA cultist, is what he would say. That being said, we live in an environment where Trump is able to flip-flop his position on wars, on the Epstein files, on tariffs overnight, and like 70% of Republicans will just follow him off of that cliff. And we see that, and that's the point that I was trying to make.
In order for something to be a cult, you have to give them their undying loyalty no matter what they do or say. And I don't think people who are MAGA worship Trump. I do believe that there are a lot of, you know, radical right wingers out there, but I could say the same thing about the left.
Mockler Media is leveling up. If you want to help us out, you can drop a like on this video, which is free, or you can join our memberships below this video, or go to adammockler.com/subscribe for members only content. Back to claim two.
My claim is that Israel will be the deciding factor of the next presidential election.
Can I ask you a question? What are you looking for as a young conservative, you brand yourself, on the Republican side? Do you think that Trump is too beholden to Israel? Do you think that J.D. Vance pushes back too much? What's your framework on all of this?
When it comes to the Republican Party, yes, we do have a loyalist problem when it comes to Israel, and like you said earlier, when it comes to AIPAC. When it comes to lobbyists in America, I believe that they have a lot of influence from other foreign countries. And I do believe that Americans like myself do have a problem with that.
I actually agree with basically everything you said there. I'll actually take it a step further. AIPAC is a big problem, and the pro-Israel American lobby, which is AIPAC, it's people oftentimes think that AIPAC is being funded directly from Israel, but it's actually just pro-Israel Americans in the United States. But it's not just AIPAC. There are all of these special interest groups that are very, very powerful and that use their money in order to buy elections, to buy politicians off, and then use that money to shape different policies. So Israel is actually a pretty good example. Among a lot of Republicans that are younger and Democrats, funding for Israel blanket isn't really that popular, but AIPAC continues to distort these elections, right?
So let me ask you this, right? We have this candidate here, and if they came out and said, and if God is looking at them eye to eye, on top of, you know, them being hooked on with a lie detector test, right? If they were asked, if you become president, will you stop aid to all Israel and all other countries? And if they say no, how many people do you think would basically rush to the voting poll to vote for that person? If all the money that America makes stays in America, if it stays, you know, towards America infrastructure and things like that, how many people do you think would vote for that individual?
I think it would be a huge, huge sell for many Americans who feel apathetic about the current system. I think a lot of young people, people of all ages, who are kind of sick of this, you know, system where Israel is able to affect politics, they'll rush to the polls. So are you thinking like a Tucker Carlson type? Like if Tucker Carlson runs and with all of his past, he says he's not going to fund Israel, would you vote for a Tucker Carlson?
I would vote for someone who's not just going to not fund Israel, but not fund any foreign entities at all, in my opinion, because we need the money. As you know, America's what, $37 trillion debt, probably more now.
No, on top of the war. You see, no foreign entities at all, not even Ukraine. I mean, you don't like USAID. What if there's a really good reason to fund?
I mean, if it's an objectively good reason, like if it's like a war like crime or something that's going on, then yes. But okay, let's just be objective here. After 9/11, we all know 9/11 was terrible. Like nothing has really happened to America since then as far as like a terrorist attack.
Yeah.
So it's like until like something like that actually happens, I don't really want like our troops with boots on the ground in these other countries, because these are our American lives that we have to basically sacrifice for these other countries.
Yeah.
That in my opinion don't even really give a fuck about us, bro.
True.
It's
me as well. It's kind of interesting how you're conservative, I consider myself liberal, but we've both grown up in a time and an environment where the United States has been in the Middle East for our entire life. Can I ask you a question?
Go ahead.
Do you think that there are more insidious problems with money in politics beyond just Israel? So when I look at people pouring money into politics to influence our elections, the first person that comes to mind for me is Elon Musk. Elon Musk spent personally $290 million out of his own pocket on electing Trump and Republicans.
Sure.
AIPAC as a whole, which I don't agree with AIPAC, I think they need to stop effing with our politics, especially in Chicago. They did some messed up stuff. But
yeah, I know.
They donated $110 million to the election. So Elon Musk as an individual has three times the donation of AIPAC. Does that worry you when trillionaire Elon Musk is trying to buy off elections?
He just so happens to be Elon Musk, and he just so happens to, you know, believe in that political ideology, which you have to actually, like, you know, kind of, you know, feel for the guy a little bit, because I do believe he did have like some type of gender swapping kid, right? And you know, that kind of, you know, as a parent,
that's,
you know,
why he put $300 million into
but no, it's not
businesses.
About the money though. It's about the, like I said earlier, it's not really about the money. It was about the ideology. Like he was basically, he believed in Trump, which just also proved that it's not a cult, because in the beginning he believed that, you know, Trump was going to do everything that he said he was going to do. Now the gender affirming surgeries and things like that, pretty sure he did keep that promise, but that was just, you know, one of the things that Elon was fighting for. He just happened to be
You mentioned at the beginning that you don't like lobbying and how these powerful groups can lobby our politics. Now you did caveat that you don't like when foreign people are lobbying and like foreign countries, but AIPAC is made up of Americans who donate to it because they like Israel.
American Israel though. It's not just
Americans. Well, no, it is Americans too. Like evangelical Christians donate to AIPAC at a very high rate because evangelicals are very pro-Israel. But the point I'm trying to make is, do you find it weird when Elon Musk buys the media like X
and then buys
the election?
Like, I don't really want money in general to like be in our politics, but let's just be honest, people need money to campaign.
Okay, but where's the line? So if Elon Musk, who is a trillionaire now, decides to put $10 billion into the 2028 election to buy off candidates, are you okay with that?
I mean, what do you necessarily mean buy off candidates? Because the voter determines who gets voted in. I mean, he can buy voters, but what do you mean by candidates?
Just like we established at the beginning of this, AIPAC is not buying off voters. What AIPAC does is funnel tens and tens of millions of dollars into campaigns
in order to increase their infrastructure,
have ads, and essentially lie and trick voters. Elon Musk did the same thing. Does it worry you when Elon Musk uses his wealth to influence our politics?
I mean, of course. I mean, look, nobody likes billionaires who are basically nosing into politics. Everybody knows that because the first thought that they're going to have is, okay, that billionaire is only, you know, funding this person for their own personal gain or own personal interest. And everybody, you know, probably is going to believe that or not. I mean, necessarily, that's only depend on what that person does with their money, in my opinion. So if Elon Musk wants to do that with his money, okay, that's cool.
Really?
$10 billion?
What if AIPAC?
Elon Musk was just one individual.
What if AIPAC wants to put $10 billion?
AIPAC is a group, though. Elon Musk is just one individual.
If anything, this is an argument for Elon Musk, because one individual should not have all of this power.
But here's the thing, though. Elon Musk isn't a foreign entity, though. That's what I'm saying.
AIPAC is funded by Americans.
But it's to push Israel, you know, pro-Israel rhetoric.
Well, do you know what Elon Musk is pushing? He's not getting into office like when he had Doge and helping out all these Americans. Elon Musk got into office and specifically began to rewire contracts for himself and for SpaceX and for his own companies. So the thing is, we agree on the fact that there are special interest groups and powerful lobbyists who are distorting American politics. We both agree that AIPAC is one of those groups. But when I see the big problem, I see Elon Musk. This guy owns Twitter, which he changed to X. He used that to, in my opinion, boost right-wing content in the algorithm.
But then this is all in America, though.
$300 million. But it's not benefiting America. It's not benefiting America whatsoever.
But here's my thing, though, right? None of that stuff is political, first of all.
It is very political. He's controlling the algorithms for his own contracts.
But that has nothing to do with my politics, though. My thing is, though, you said AIPAC
politics should be America first.
You said that Elon Musk does all of this stuff for his own personal gain in America. Okay, he doesn't have that power to actually... Okay, he has X, but he can't...
That's big. It's pretty big.
But X isn't my life. You see what I'm saying? Like, I don't... If X goes down tomorrow, I could care less. Probably somebody's going to make a new platform, excuse me.
I think I know what you're saying. So you're saying that because AIPAC is so insidious and they're sending all of our monies overseas, this is a much bigger problem than what one billionaire does, is what you're trying to say.
Well, but it's AIPAC.
I would argue...
It's a lot of things that are funded by, you know, a group of people that I'm not going to say because I don't want to get, you know, you banned or anything like that, but you have the movie industries... You have the sports industry. You know, I love Hollywood, by the way. You know, put me and Adam in a movie, okay? I love everybody. But my thing is this, though.
So you think, like, a group of Jewish people control the media and control, like, AIPAC is what you're trying to say?
I mean, I'm not going to confirm or deny that. I'm not going to get into
Well, you can
that.
Say it. We won't get us banned if you think that's what it is.
I just do believe
wait,
that...
How can you square the idea that Elon Musk, as an individual, donates three times more than AIPAC? He donated $300 million, but that doesn't bother you as much as... $100 million from AIPAC. I think both of these
are we talking about as far
degrees.
As to like the Trump campaign?
Yeah, he donated to the Trump campaign and to down ballot politicians. Elon Musk quite literally rewired the 2024 election based off of money.
Okay, so do you realize how much money Kamala Harris wasted during her campaign?
That's not the point, though. It's not
but
about
that
the
is
money.
The point.
It's
if we're talking about money, but I'm saying, if I keep hearing money, that's what I'm saying. So if it's about the money, then we can talk
also,
about money.
Also, you have to understand, when we
I'm
talk
talking about the influence,
when we talk
not
about
the money.
AIPAC, we're not even talking...
You use the money for the influence, but, you know, I'm not talking about, like, the money.
Also,
general.
I do want to push back. When we talk about AIPAC, we're not talking about, like, a group of Jewish people trying to control
the media or any of this.
It's people donating into that. Mm-hmm. And I also deny this idea that Jewish people are some monolith that control either Hollywood or, like, the news industry, whatever this is. I can list off so many different Jewish people that disagree with each other. Bernie Sanders is a liberal, or he's more of a progressive, who's against Israel and what Israel is doing, like, broadly. We have George Soros, who is on the right, or sorry, on the left, then Miriam Adelson, who is on the right, and these two are Jewish Americans who fundamentally disagree with each other. So there's this idea that there's, like, a monolith of Jewish people pushing towards something. I think what is actually the reality is AIPAC has, you know, a disproportionate amount of pull for a special interest group, but it's not the only special interest group. There's a bunch of other interest groups that exist in America. The biggest one is the billionaire class rewiring our politics. So I think sometimes it's better to look at everything in totality, the billionaires, how that feeds into AIPAC and all of this.
So can I just ask you one thing? Do you think Elon Musk is more powerful than AIPAC?
At this moment, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So you think one man is more powerful than a whole group?
What Number one, AIPAC is disproportionately powerful. I already conceded that. But what media infrastructure does AIPAC as a group own?
I mean, I don't think AIPAC is, you know, connected with any like specific.
So here's the difference. Here's the difference. Both AIPAC and Elon Musk are insidious forces in U.S. politics. I'll grant that. But Elon Musk bought Twitter, branded to X, and uses that to boost right-wing content. Elon Musk then donated $300 million to the Trump campaign. I think money should be out of politics altogether. AIPAC donated $100 million to Republicans down ballot. Elon Musk donated $300 million. These are insidious forces in our politics that should be dealt with the same weight. I mean, they're buying off politicians.
Agree.
So I think it's important to just look at everything in totality. Now, when it comes back to the main prompt, I actually agree. I think a lot of young people are very, very disillusioned with the way our government has been unconditionally sending money overseas. Our framework at Mockler Media is that there are two conditions for funding a country. Number one, are they the good guys in the war? I think for Israel, no, they're not the good guys. Number two, will us funding them actually make a difference in the war? Israel has enough money. Us funding them won't make a difference. Now, I want to ask you, for Ukraine, under my conditions, I think Ukraine is the good guy against Russia, and I think that us funding Ukraine will meaningfully change the outcome of the war. Could you agree with those conditions, or do you want all funding to be cut off?
Honestly, I just have this belief that if a country can't defend itself on its own, then, I mean, it is what it is. I mean, if you guys can't defend yourself, then, I mean, the war is over. Don't you agree?
What you're saying is might makes right. And this is how the world worked for, like, thousands of years during our most bloody, violent periods. But then we came up with the idea of sovereignty, that every country should have its own sovereign borders.
I agree with what you're saying, but
like Mexico,
we have to be... But I'm saying, though, like, that only gets to a certain point because you do know... Once resources and things goes down in war, then we're kind of going back to like the Stone Age times a little bit. Like you said, like, you know, would we basically have to resort back to these things.
Do you think that we would be justified in invading Mexico because they can't fully defend themselves?
No. And see, that's the thing. Like, I don't agree with war, period. And I think a lot of Americans don't agree with war. So my thing is, I don't really care who's wrong or right. I just want people to stop dying. I just want the war to stop.
Yeah, I agree.
So my thing is this. I don't necessarily think that America has a dog in this fight because at the end of the day, we're fighting a war internally amongst ourselves as Americans. And I think that when we send all of this funding to Israel and Ukraine and Taiwan and all this other stuff, I just think it just takes, you know, food away from Americans.
I agree. I think we should put America first. I would put... you know, Ukraine and Israel in different buckets because I think Ukraine is fighting like an actual battle for their sovereignty and Israel is just overfunded unconditionally. Can I ask what you're looking at in terms of 2028 candidates? So say, for example, you have J.D. Vance, Marco Rubio, and Tucker Carlson on a debate stage. Which one are you gravitating towards?
If I'm being honest, I'm definitely going with Tucker Carlson.
Why? Why Tucker over
them? I'm gonna go with Tucker Carlson because he's outspoken, for one. I don't necessarily feel like he's going to shield for Israel. I mean, me personally, I don't necessarily think that he's like politically experienced or anything like that, like as much as J.D. Vance or Marco Rubio. But my thing is he's something new because Trump was new and everybody loved it. So my thing is, I just think it's time to put somebody in that just actually wants to focus on America in general. If we're talking about just Gen Z in general, I think Tucker Carlson would get that. I think J.D. Vance would get the MAGA cultists, you know.
Yeah,
I think he definitely would get them. Marco Rubio, I think he'll get the warmongers.
Yeah.
But other than that, I'm not necessarily...
Can I say, over on the Democratic side, to speak for what's happening on our side, there is a massive rewiring in the Democratic Party as well about our positions on Israel, or at least our politicians' positions on Israel. It feels like for years and years, it's been this unspoken thing, like you can't speak about it or criticize it, but especially after Israel's war crimes in Gaza and then their settlements in the West Bank, which I take huge problem with, of course, some politicians are being more and more outspoken about it. And the politicians that refuse to speak about it on the Democratic side are getting a lot of pressure on them, which is good. I think Democratic pressure to talk about those things is true. So, like, in my personal opinion, I'm looking for a candidate to come out and take a position that isn't anything extreme. I don't want a candidate that's going to be like, let's destroy Israel. But I want a candidate that's like, listen, we're not going to unconditionally send money to a country that doesn't help us, that basically screws us over during wars, and that doesn't even follow the basic human rights that we're supposed to believe in as Americans. I mean, we both hate war. We hate death. We hate destruction. Israel is over there quite literally killing people in the West Bank and then taking over their houses. They're starving people in Gaza. Like, it's a very sickening sight to see. So I'm looking for a Democratic candidate who can speak about this while not alienating any Jewish Americans, mm-hmm. while also having a, you know, steady-handed view on foreign policy.
I think it's just time for America to just stop putting labels on things, if I'm being honest. Like, when we talk about Republican, Democrat, Black, White, basically all the things that's just going to basically keep America divided and separated, I think we just need to get rid of those labels and just try to focus on the ideologies that really would make America good, get us back on track, make gas go back down, things more affordable out there, and just, you know, prioritize infrastructure and things in America. And I don't really think you need to be a Republican or a Democrat to do that. You see what I'm saying?
You know, I think what the position that we're arriving at, what we're agreeing at here, is that there is a sickness in American institutions, and whether you're a Democrat or a Republican, there is a similar sickness. Rich, powerful interest groups, lobbyists, people like Elon Musk or groups like AIPAC or other special interest groups, want to distort the truth of American politics and create a system where money is above all. So it's nice that we're separate Americans on different sides of the aisle, different experiences, but we agree with this fundamental thing.
Yes,
so Bashan, thank you so much for being our second guest, and we're going to have you back on the show very, very soon.
I wasn't expecting me and Adam to agree with so much. Was expecting a little bit more pushback.
People are confused at the U.S. relationship to Israel and about money in politics. And that was shown by a young conservative sitting across from a young liberal, and we're able to agree on this fundamental issue.
I don't have a problem with Elon Musk. You know, I feel like he worked hard for what he's done. He basically bought X, so that's pretty cool to buy a platform. People are just gonna do that. You have people like George Soros, you have Peter Thiel. All of these billionaires do the same exact thing.
The reality is, it's all money that is distorting politics right now. Elon Musk, in my opinion, is even a better example of one individual who's able to pour his money into politics and only benefit himself. If you appreciate the Adam Mockler Debate Show and you want to see more episodes, then drop a like on this video. Let us know your thoughts in the comment section below. And every single Wednesday, we have more and more debates coming out for you all. So thank you to Vashon, thank you to the team, and we'll see you next week.